live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for June 16th in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is Hour 2 at 2. Man, our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio. Welcome back. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome. And a big shout out and a warm welcome to the good sheriff, former Sheriff Richard Mack, back on the line. We haven't had him on the radio with us for a couple of weeks. He's been traveling and doing some testing for school and some things that he needs to do and traveling and put all that together. It's been kind of crazy busy. Welcome back, my friend.
Oh, thanks, Sam. Good to be back with you. Good morning, Kirk.
All right, now,
buenos dias.
There's so much going on in the news, I don't even know where to start. But I'll start with this interesting tidbit we talked about yesterday. Or, I'm sorry, we're talking about last hour. The rhetoric is ratcheting up. The New York Times got caught lying about Sarah Palin. You know, Sarah Palin back in the day said, man, these people have targets, they have crosshairs on their, and she was talking about their elections. And these people are targeted for defeat in the elections is what Sarah meant. But the mainstream press globbed onto that and said she was calling for violence. And well, now the New York Times comes back and brings that back up and literally lies about Sarah Palin, now being forced literally to apologize for their article rehashing false claims against Sarah Palin. Well, while they're ratcheting things up, I don't know if you know this, Sheriff, but Jesse Benn, he's a so-called journalist for the criminal left Huffington Post. He not only failed to end the shooting at the baseball practice, but he advised future shooters to make more organized, and therefore more effective attacks on conservatives and Donald Trump supporters.
Holy moly.
Now, in addition to this, Jesse Benn, journalist for doing this at the Huffington Post, this followed the Post, who then finally pulled another article they posted that directly called for the assassination of Donald Trump. Now, a man was shot at while driving his pickup truck with a Make America Great Again sticker and an American flag. And in Charlotte, North Carolina, a woman who was wearing a Donald Trump T-shirt was literally assaulted by Starbucks employees. I guess they say she was mocked and harassed by the employees. Now, there were people there who say that it's true. In other words, the public. And now Starbucks has literally apologized to the woman. Now, I get free speech. I get, you know, people saying things they ought not say. And even though I disagree, I'll defend their right to the death to say it. Okay, but even Ted Nugent, after the GOP shooting, is now speaking out saying no more hateful rhetoric. He used to say, hey, tell those people to suck on their machine guns and stuff like that. Now he's kind of backing off and saying, look, we've got to stop this. But while Ted Nugent's ratcheting it down, Sheriff, the New York Times is literally lying. And the Huffington Post literally promoting the assassination of Donald Trump and telling people who are against Donald to ratchet up and organize their attacks even more. Now, I get free speech, but at some point, shouldn't these people be arrested? This is over the top, out of control, unacceptable.
Well, if any of that had happened during the Obama administration, there would have been some very serious repercussions and investigations. And I mean, you would have been blasted so horrifically by the left and by the media, you wouldn't have been able to even sit down.
And I might add, rightfully so, right?
Well, in some instances, yes.
When you call for the assassination of the sitting president via your newspaper, yeah, that's absolutely over the top. I'm telling you, that ought to be investigated.
But, you know, then there's that play where they are literally assassinating Donald Trump.
And I don't think they ought to be able to do that either.
No, I don't either.
They call that a Julius Caesar play, and I'm like, I don't remember Trump being in Caesar. And I don't remember guys in suits and you know, black guys in suits and ladies, you know, being part of it with a knife on a President Trump. You know, it just doesn't make sense.
It does show him defending himself pretty well, and you know, against 10 people. But they ultimately do do him in. But it's really just way beyond. And I watched Juan Williams try to defend that last night. And I cannot believe what a hypocrite he is, and the left is. I mean, we've talked about this, the hypocrisy of the left, on your show quite often. And look at all the violence that the left has perpetrated or promoted. And again, we have another example with Huffington Post, as you have alluded to. It's just mind-boggling how we're the ones who are being singled out by the SPLC, yet the Bundys have never committed any violence, never. They've never hurt anybody, nor have they advocated violence. We in the Tea Party movement, as far as it went, were always accused of being racist and violent and promoting violence, yet not one Tea Party rally ever did such a thing. I don't think anybody has been to more Tea Party rallies than I have in American history or recent history, and yet not one time did I see anything racist or violent of any kind.
And by the way, the rare exception where someone's tried to do that, maybe an infiltrator, who knows what, they've been basically shut down, and people have said, look, we don't do that here, we need you to leave, or what. In other words, even if it has happened on a unique singled out example where someone's attempted that, the good guys have said, oh, no, we don't want that here. And a perfect example is that guy that committed that murder tried to infiltrate the Bundys down at the Bundy Ranch. And I guess from what I understand, he tried to get people to get more radical. And people are like, look, stop, we're not doing that here. They were sent packing.
Yeah, you're talking about the guy that killed the two Las Vegas cops.
Yes.
Yeah.
But my point is, he tried to get involved with the Bundys, and they just said, look, we don't want this going on here. See you later.
Yeah, he was completely ostracized. And so, I mean, even the left tried everything they could to make Timothy McVeigh part of the national militia. And the truth of the matter is the militia kicked him out. And so, I mean, they have to, in order to promote their agendas, they have to be very Hitleric in their propaganda schemes, and even in some of their rhetoric. It comes right from the Hitler pages, and it's really just terrifically sad that this is how and where it goes with these people, and they're so proud of it. It's pretty scary.
Now, Michael Savage literally saying we are at the brink of a civil war. The left will not calm down. They will get more violent. George Soros's, the Black Lives Matters, they're all in concert. It hails back to when Barack Obama said we're going to create an army back in 2008. They're unleashing it now. They've got plenty of money, plenty of organizers, and they say that this isn't going to stop. Do you think he's right?
Probably so, yeah, if you look at history and the trend. And even Juan Williams, again, I don't know how Fox keeps him on. I guess they need somebody from the left to demonstrate how stupid they are. He even defended Black Lives Matter last night. In fact, he said that the relentless attack on Black Lives Matter by the right, as if, you know, marching around and yelling for cops to be killed, and promoting hate towards cops, and he defends them and say that they've been horribly attacked by the right, and just it's just that kind of stupidity that I really can't deal with. And you know, here it is on your program and as part of the CSPOA that we promote a nonviolent approach, but yet still we are attacked as being a dangerous and even a domestic terrorist group. I find this so astonishing. And these people, this is one thing the media does know how to do, and they do know how to promote propaganda in this country, and they have a great deal. And, you know, and I keep asking these people who want to attack Donald Trump, I keep looking at all these, quote, horrible things that he's done since he's been in office, and I can't really point to any. To me, he hasn't done enough to promote freedom and to drain the swamp in Washington. But I still don't see anything radical or anything that would get anybody riled up to promote a play that he's been, where he's being murdered, and to promote anything with the Huffington Post or any of these other lies that the New York Times tells. And, you know, how many times does the New York Times have to be wrong and the Washington Post have to be wrong and now Huffington Post? So ridiculous. Don't they get tired of apologies and being sued? I mean...
No? You want to know why?
I don't know. I guess it keeps them in the news.
They make more money by their advertisers and promoters by staying in the news. They'll just pay the back-end lawsuits and continue to grow.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Hey, this is fantastic news. Donald's draining the swamp. We got a flash update, ladies and gentlemen. Donald orders the government to back off, huh, Kurt?
Well, and the most interesting part about this story to me is that I was, you know, yesterday while I was selling honey, I checked on the news, you know, looking at Drudge and different places. So I see this story, and I thought, well, that's piece of good news, and it's a Bloomberg piece, and I figured, hey, I saved it on my phone. Then I looked this morning, you know, and I couldn't find it anywhere. I mean, I couldn't find it on Drudge. I couldn't find it when I just typed in Trump news or, you know, anything in Google, you know, so I had to go back to my phone and put in the exact words to be able to pull it up, because at least in my opinion, this is how, you know, he who owns the media makes the rules, you know, the Googles, et cetera. I mean, a story like this kind of makes him look a little bit good, you know, because you've got where he's actually doing something. You remember the Y2K thing, right, Sheriff?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Well, anyway, apparently, you know, your government's still been preparing for this thing, and 17 years later, according to Justin Sink there at Bloomberg, the White House is now eliminating paperwork for federal agencies. Federal workers have still been reporting on this preparedness for this Y2K thing 17 years later, and now the federal government is going to finally stop preparing for it. The Trump administration announced this, said it would eliminate dozens of paperwork requirements for federal agencies, including this obscure rule that requires them to continue providing updates on their preparedness for a bug that afflicted some computers at the turn of the century. As another example, they say the Pentagon will be freed from a requirement that it file a report every time a small business vendor is paid a task, by the way, that consumes some 1,200 man hours every year. The Office of Management and Budget Director Mike Mulvaney there told reporters at the White House he likened this whole thing to the government cleaning out our closets. Man, you talk about a lot of closet cleaning going on, or that should go on, I should say. They say 7 of the more than 50 paperwork requirements the White House eliminated on Thursday dealt with the Y2K bug. So there you go, Sam. You got to admit, that's a surprising step in the right direction. But, the sad thing, in my opinion, is there's very little, if any, reporting on it.
Well, there's not going to be. But here's my attitude, though. I appreciate it, but again, it's like, you know what? We're so glad we caught a drop of water. We need a bucket full, but we got a drop, and we're so grateful. Even though I agree it's good, it kind of smacks of that for me.
Well, I will tell you, I was actually working as a consultant for a food storage company in Utah right before that happened, and I found an article in Time Magazine, and Time Magazine said that the Y2K bug was going to be one of America's worst moments ever, and that there's no way that we were prepared for it. And then when planes didn't fall out of the skies and cars didn't stop moving, people all said, oh, well, it was just a right-wing hoax and whatnot. And literally, Time Magazine was out there promoting the problem and warning people about the Y2K bug. And there's been lots of people said, hey, it hasn't hit yet, and it's still there. And I think we did see some computers in some major industries that really took some big hits, and we've seen it during the last 15, 17 years. If you went back and reviewed all the different computers that did go down and that have had huge problems, look how many times it's happened with the airlines.
Yeah, and oftentimes they won't blame it on what really caused it. They'll just say there was an unknown glitch, and then they never tell you why or whatever else.
Right.
The other issue is we focused on the wider case thing so much, then it came to be not near as big of a thing as people thought it was going to be. But I would submit to you that it was because of a lot of the hype that we all promoted. I was on the air before that, and we talked about it a lot, and I didn't have the extreme view others had, but I did say this is a legitimate problem. I'm convinced that a lot of people updated code and did things because of the hype about it that really avoided a lot of it. So the hype actually brought to bear some solutions averting the problem is what I'm telling you. Nobody gets credit for that. They just say, oh, you were wrong on this. No. We weren't wrong. We just educated folks. There was a lot done to make it better. So I think it's a good story, not a bad one, is the point.
Yeah, and some of those huge companies actually did tests, and they moved their computers up to 2001. There was a lot of preparations conducted. And, I think that because of the warning, and because there was time, there was plenty of time to get ready, and so they did, and a lot of also businesses like the food storage companies went out of business, but right now the food storage companies are back flourishing because of all the crazy things happening,
and they should be, because it isn't about one singular incident anyway. It's about preparedness in general.
Correct.
But the Department of Energy is closing its Office of International Climate and Technology. They're eliminating 11 positions. They call that draining the swamp. And now I guess this story here where Trump orders government to stop working on Y2K bug 17 years later, I guess that, again, we're draining the swamp one little drop at a time, I guess. It's better than nothing, that's for sure. Now, while Donald's draining the swamp like that, though, the liberals are going psychotic, and here's what's happening. Pro LGBTQ organizations. It's a legal group. It's an anti-Trump legal group. literally spends $25 million to open a D.C. office. Philip Stuckey writes the piece. So they basically spent $25 million to get their offices, their digs in. So Donald Trump is in Washington, as you know. But Barack Obama's in Washington as the kind of the chief attorney quarterback. And now this legal group that's gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender spends $25 million bucks just to set up their office to attack the Donald. So all I'm telling you is Donald, and we talked about this yesterday, is under siege, Sheriff. The American people and the conservatives and the way of life and the Constitution all under siege by what I'm calling rogue, criminal, weaponized, unconstitutional government agencies. Your thoughts?
Yeah. I'm not at all surprised by that. Barack Obama being part of that doesn't surprise me. And to me, he seems pretty classless in everything he's doing right now. I mean, at least Bush would say, let the next president have his agenda and let him try to get something done. I mean, these obstructionists that get in the way of Trump, I mean, I'm not a big fan of anything going on in Washington, D.C. I'm not. I can't stand Washington, D.C. I can't stand most of the politicians there.
For good reason.
Well, of course. It is all good reason. But I don't say, well, let's go try to kill everybody in D.C., you know. I believe that there still is a possibility of having peaceful change brought in this country. But if you look at the obstructionists and the obstructions going on in Washington, this is an obstruction for liberty. This is an obstruction for constitutional propriety. And I even note that there's a national article, I just saw it on MSN a day or two ago, that the Article 5 convention is gaining momentum and that it's actually even close. They're blaming the Koch brothers for it or giving them credit for it, which, you know, maybe they've donated some to it, but that it's actually a movement for them. I really kind of doubt it. I've never heard the Koch brothers' name come up once in Arizona with all the people, and I've done debates on this whole thing. So, you know, there is and there are some things going on in Washington that do have some merit and do have some possibilities. But, you know, again, the bureaucracies in Washington are just so powerful, which brings me back to the Freedom Coalition thing. It is so astonishing that people in Washington, D.C., even the ones who advocate freedom and are on the Freedom Caucus, is it Liberty Caucus or Freedom Caucus? I think it's Freedom Caucus. But those senators and congressmen that are on the Freedom Caucus and say they really stand for the Constitution and freedom, I really don't believe those guys either, and they're all Republicans. So
there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. All right, all we need's love and Coulter. Details in seconds on your radio.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. The Federal Reserve's borrowing rate raised during the last 24 hours. The central bank targeting a rate between 1% and 1.25. One more interest rate is expected to be hiked in before this year is over. The Federal Reserve also announced plans on how it will begin to liquidate the securities that it bought during the financial crisis. To begin unwinding its $4.5 trillion balance sheet, the Fed will not reinvest some of the funds it receives from the proceeds of maturing bonds. It will only invest money back into the market that it receives on more than $6 billion in principal a month. Nearly 200 congressional plaintiffs have filed a lawsuit against President Trump. The basis of the suit is the little-known Emoluments Clause. Now, because the president is allegedly receiving foreign money through the Trump Organization without congressional approval, he is supposedly violating the clause. The clause has really never been litigated. If the suit is found to have standing, Democrats would be able to have discovery of the president's financial records. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
Audio Compass is the perfect software solution for remote broadcasting. Consider Audio Compass for sporting events, talk show hosts, sound bites from the field, and more. Allow Audio Compass to transfer low-delay, crystal-clear audio over the Internet. AudioCompass.com. Complete, accurate information has always been hard to find. For news the networks refuse to use anytime, anywhere, click to LibertyNewsDaily.com or sign up to get Liberty News delivered directly to your email. LibertyNewsDaily.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Ann Coulter's in the news, ladies and gentlemen. Kurt?
Yeah, surprisingly, I mean, Ann really doesn't look for, you know, the spotlight or anything like that. But in this case, the headline, Sheriff reads, All We Need Is Love and Deportations. This was written just after one of the recent killings in Great Britain. You know, I can't remember if it was the bombing of the concert or what, but you know, these are almost daily or at least weekly events. But she says, in Britain, as in the U.S., when an Islamic terrorist is said to be known to law enforcement, the translation is he is being actively ignored by law enforcement. After the latest terrorist attack in Britain, she says, Prime Minister Theresa May bravely announced enough is enough. She says, at least as of this writing, which I think what she's saying is it'll change and go back. She says, what's the point of these macho proclamations after every terrorist attack? Nothing will be done to stop the next attack. Political correctness prohibits us from doing anything that might stop it. She says, Poland doesn't admit Muslims. It has no terrorism. Japan doesn't admit Muslims. It has no terrorism. The United States and the United Kingdom used to have very few Muslims. They used to have almost no terrorism. One notable exception, well, anyway, she goes on to say basically that, hey, we've got to quit doing what we've been doing and straighten things up. Or
all we need
we're
is
be in
love
trouble.
And deportations, right?
Well, that's what she says.
Ann Coulter, there you have it.
It's hard to disagree.
All right, now the Southern Baptists met in a big old convention, Kurt. And I guess now they've voted to condemn, quote, alt-right racism, along with any other kind of racism. Now, on one hand, I get condemning racism. We all would condemn racism. However, what I don't get, though, is when the Baptists do that, they're primarily attacking their white parishioners or whatever you want to call it, their congregations. Many of them, most of them are white. Most of us aren't racist, but they now, by voting on this resolution to condemn all racism, they almost carry the ball for the liberals that are calling the race card on every issue, Sheriff.
Yeah, that's it's overplayed. And I've traveled all over the country. I go to the South a lot. and it's just not there. And I remember, and you both know, in my presentation that I talk a lot about Rosa Parks and that the stand that she took for freedom. And I even got heckled one time by a liberal who said, Rosa Parks should be turning over her grave if she knew that you were using her as an example. I said, what? We shouldn't use historical fact as an example? The example is this, that no one should be arrested for stupid laws, and we have so many stupid laws today that it makes Rosa Parks' thing look innocuous.
And many people from the South would challenge the Rosa Parks scenario didn't go down factually. And that's all true, but it misses your point.
The point is this, is that do we have police officers today in this country that have the guts and the wherewithal and the knowledge to understand that we don't arrest people for failing to get to the back of the bus when government says this group gets to the back of the bus, as they have done farmers and ranchers all across the West and all across the country, that when we arrest an Amish farmer and put him in prison because he made a salve out of chickweed, do we have judges and officers who know and understand how stupid that is and that they actually stand for his rights? The Rosa Parks story, I don't care what subversion is behind it. I don't care. In fact, I actually reject it, and I'll tell you why I reject it. Because the story as it stands helps us, and it helps people, and it helps America. And whether it was planned or not or contrived, I don't care. I really don't care. The truth of the matter is, even if it was contrived, she still risked her life to be part of that. Because the KKK could have still gone after her. She still could have had her home burned. She still could have been lynched. And whether it was contrived or not, she could have had all that happen to her. And the story as it stands is a phenomenal story.
Now, you know, the Southern Poverty, or not the Southern Poverty, but the Southern Baptist group now, they basically are condemning you then, Sheriff.
Probably so.
And me, because they claim we're racist. Now, see, that's the problem. If you follow the Southern Poverty Law Center lies, you follow the mainstream press lies, then, you know, half the Southern Baptist leaders are racist, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the fact that
they're from the South proves it.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you ever have had a flag, which several of the southern states still have, that has the southern flag represented in anything, then you're a racist. Despite the...
As long as you accept the fake news lies, that remains true. But if you accept the truth, that remains completely false. We reject the narrative, and I say shame on the Baptists for falling for that race card lie. Of course we all disavow or stand against or condemn racism. Of course we do. But when you do that too publicly, at some point you cater to that belligerent, deceptive, fake news agenda, and that's our concern. By the way, Megyn Kelly and Alex Jones are feuding it out. Did you see this?
Well, yeah, actually I did, and I think it's kind of funny.
Kurt's got details.
Well, yeah, now Alex has said he's going to release the full recordings and stuff because Megan's taking him out of context and, you know, arranging it the wrong way of the interview. So we'll see what happens, huh?
Yeah, I saw that this morning on MSN.
And what do you think about it all?
Yeah. Well, did Alex have permission to do that?
I don't even know, but here's what I do know. There's some conspiracy. Whenever ratings tank for, say, Alex or tank for Megan or tank for anybody, they tend to get Alex in the middle of it all, and both of them end up getting more ratings and richer and more popularity and grow their shows. It almost doesn't matter who wins the debate. They're all in it, really, to promote themselves, and that's what I see happening here. For example, Alex Jones says, you know what, Megan's just absolutely fascinated and sexually attracted to and in love with an alpha male like me. And so there you have it, you know, and so.
Well, hey, but there's a side note to that, too.
Yeah.
Some families that were victims of the Sandy Hook massacre are thinking about suing NBC.
Well, they ought
to. I would really love to see that. I would love to see all the families do that and be a part of that class action suit.
How much do you think of this as really real, and how much this, though, just really ratchets up both of their fame status for Megan and Alex?
Yeah, Alex knows how to use this better than anybody, so I totally agree with that possibility.
And I'm not here to attack Alex. I'm just saying how much of it is political theater. By the way, in the recordings, Megan asks Alex about a lot of things, and Alex says exactly what was said about Alex in his lawsuit with his ex-wife, which is Alex doesn't even believe this stuff. To him, it's all political theater.
Yeah. Yeah, well.
So we have more and more and more claims from Alex that that's the facts, while Alex would say that's out of context and the whole thing's manipulated. But again, Alex gets more popular and Megan gets more popular. But do you think Megan's in love with the alpha male?
No, I really doubt that part.
Maybe Megan loves Alex and that's the deal.
But I don't think she's getting more popular on this. I think ever since she left Fox that her brand has been damaged. She might be getting some infamy out of this, but I think her allure has been marginalized.
I'm telling you right now, Megan, we're going to have to take this thing to the mat if you don't let go of this. I'm going to have to just publish all the leaked recordings there on it and get to the bottom of this thing. I'm telling you right now, we're not going to have any other way but to take off the gloves. Is that what's happening?
I think it's funny that he did it.
Well, I think it's funny, but he might get sued over it. I don't know where it all goes, to who has rights, to what, to who can whatever. And no matter what, though, the popularity happens. And you know what? At least real discussion about the Sandy Hook issue might come out. Now, I don't take as extreme view as some, but I do believe we don't have the real answers there.
No, for instance, the shooting that happened at Columbine, they didn't tear down the school. In Sandy Hook, they tore down the school. Why? I don't get that. They're still just questions, you know. I just don't like it. The same thing with the Malheur building, the Murrah building, in Oklahoma City. They hurry up and get rid of it and tear it down and get rid of all of it. The Twin Towers, they hurry up, tear it down, and get rid of all of it. At Waco, they hurry up and tear down the Davidian compound building. Hurry up and get rid of all of it. Nothing is examined, nothing is investigated, and we hurry up and get rid of all of it.
And if you bring up concerns like that, you're a conspiracy theorist, racist is all you are.
Oh, yeah.
See, that's how it goes, ladies and gentlemen, but the truth shall make us free. That's what I'm saying. Anyway, the Megyn Kelly, Alex Jones controversy, interesting to say the least. All right, big money. They're raising all kinds of cash. But they're still going into debt with Donald at the helm. Details in seconds.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
The feds collect record taxes, Kurt.
Well, yeah, CNS News has got this piece, Terrence Jeffrey, $240+ billion in, well, 1 month, May. But they were still $88 billion+ short. Doggone it. Whoops.
Donald's not draining the swamp and cutting the government fast enough there, Sheriff.
No, that's for sure. He's certainly not doing it nearly fast enough for me. In fact, it appears that with the FDA and the problems we're having there, that he's actually put a very mainstream person in charge. I don't even remember his name, but I was really hoping for somebody who would drain the FDA swamp, and he certainly picked a Washington, D.C. insider to do that.
So, hey, he picked John McCain's wife, Cindy, to go ahead and deal with sex trafficking children cases and stuff like that now. Did you hear that?
No.
Loves Cindy McCain. He's been begging her to join him for years now.
So, that really surprises me that she would do it or that Trump would want her, because McCain assails Trump almost daily.
But that's all political theater, too. They love each other. They're good friends.
Well, when you say that Obama's leadership was better than Trump, I mean, I don't see how that's just theater. That's
who's what are you saying now?
McCain came out this week and said that Trump's leadership is dwarfed by Obama's.
Yeah, that's phenomenal ratings, phenomenal discovery, phenomenal reality TV, man. You love it, right?
Yeah, I don't know on that one, but
well, hey, his wife works for the Donald. There you go.
I guess so, but. Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like the feud that Donald had with Hillary. You know, he said, lock her up. He led the chant. Now he's just like, why would I hurt my friend Hillary?
Yeah.
Why would I do that? See? They're friends. You just don't even get it, do you? It's all political theater, from the Alex Jones to the Megyn Kelly to the Donald and McCain. It's all theater, sir.
Yeah. Possibly. But, you know, political stuff, and then when the reality comes in, you know, he actually said, oh, she's been through enough. She's had enough, you know, and. You know, but and it's just like when Clinton pardoned former Governor Fife Symington. You know, here he is supposedly on the opposite side, but he gave him a pardon for the conviction that he had for some land scandal before he was governor. And you know, and I thought Fife Symington was actually a pretty good guy, and he got after Clinton a bunch of times. In fact, when they shut down the government, Fife Symington came out and said, hey, we don't need the federal government or Clinton. We'll run our own Grand Canyon. And, of course, that scared everybody so desperately that the federal government hurry up and reopened, because they were going to prove how irrelevant they could be to the entire country. And they are. I mean, I'm still amazed that the bureaucracies of this country are allowed to do what they do on a daily basis, and yet nobody will stand up to them. Not Democrats, not Republicans. Nobody in Washington D.C. will stand against the IRS tyranny or abuse or crime.
That's why
nobody.
I'm saying you got criminal, rogue, weaponized, unconstitutional government agencies all at the helm, and Donald's not stopping any of it.
No, he's not. And that's really the sad part of all of this. And this week I actually asked Ted Nugent, who said he would try to get Sarah Palin to call me so that we could have her help us with the Freedom Coalition. And
my problem with all this is these elites have become so untouchable, you can't get a hold of Sarah if you tried. You can't get a hold of the Donald or anybody else. You can't even get a hold of Rand Paul, hardly.
No, and I don't know if I shared this with you, but...
You want to know why Rand Paul doesn't have time for you?
Well, yeah.
Because he's too busy at baseball practice, my friend.
Yeah, well, and you know, that's another thing. I felt like I should have been there. I should have been, I was supposed to be in that baseball game. I was supposed to be in Congress. That would have been something that I would do. I just pictured myself there. But, you know, if I had gone to Congress, you know, I wouldn't have stayed very long because I would have actually, there's just no way I would have gone along with this political correctness in Washington, D.C. And Ron Paul said that he didn't the whole time he was there, yet we can't get him to help free innocent people. And we can't get Rand Paul. And I did invite Rand Paul to come to Sam Girard's sentencing.
But you're hanging out with our buddies that sing the Sounds of Silence, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're like Simon Garfunkel and the Sheriff.
Well, I got no response. And usually he doesn't mind setting me straight. This is Randall Meyer, who is the legislative attorney for Rand Paul. And he usually doesn't mind getting after me or setting me straight, saying, hey, you can't do it this way. This is how you have to do a presidential pardon, blah, blah, blah. You got to do it right. And this time when I invited Rand to be there, he made no response whatsoever.
Never mind that Rand happens to be Sam Girard's senator.
Correct. He is. And
so there's zero representations, what you're telling me. Not even the good guys will represent you.
No, they won't. And, you know, he's... look, but, you know, you could look at a baseball game. I would actually view his involvement in the baseball game as one of the more worthy things that Rand Paul has done since he's been in Washington.
Why? Because at least while he's at baseball practice, he's not legislating against us? Is that why?
That, and he's just not getting involved in the political correctness or the political heat.
Well, in his spare time, he's working on that secret health care bill they got rolling through secret. Even the Donald attacked the Republicans for secret health care legislation now. Rand's involved in that neck deep.
Well,
of course, Rand's saying that he won't vote for it if he doesn't like it in the end of the day.
Well, what has Rand Paul said? Rand Paul knows that the federal government has no authority to do health care at all. He knows that. But he's getting involved in that, and that's my point. He's getting involved in the political correctness instead of the constitutional correctness, whether or not there should be a health care bill at all, because the federal government has no authority to get involved in that in the first place.
Well, when the gay and lesbians and bisexuals can put $25 million into setting up a Washington, D.C. office, and when Skittles can get rid of the, what do they call that Skittles thing, the...
Rainbow.
Get rid of their rainbow candy. They're all white candies right now because they're trying to back the gay and lesbian agenda and create solidarity and let the gay and lesbians take center stage. Then they created all white Skittles, and then they got called racists. And so you just can't win. But when they put that kind of money into Liberty, we can't even raise $5 to get people out of prison, Sheriff.
I know. That's really been something I've wondered about. How do people raise money? I mean, all sorts of different groups keep forming, and I go, who funds
these? If you follow Bruce Jenner, Bender, whatever, Jenner's, and do what he did, then you get a lot of money. So you'd be an American sheriff hero, sir.
The
gender bending sheriff. You'd get rich.
I don't know though if we've tapped into all the possibilities for funding. That makes me wonder if we have. I don't know if I have time to research all that either, though. So, it is crazy, and it just really makes you wonder if you do some crazy things or things that are on the fringe.
What you need to do is start standing up and say, "I'm telling you right now, I think Megan's just absolutely in love with me." You know, if you do that, then you'll rock there, Sheriff.
Yeah, I'm going to have my wife put out a press release.
Well, then you might end up divorced and have a lawsuit on your hands. So,
well, Megyn Kelly's been after me for a long time, and in fact, her publicist called me several times during the Bundy siege, the Bunkerville standoff is probably what it was, and they wanted me on.
I would call it the Bunkerville peaceful sit-in is what I'd call it. But
well,
hey,
that's probably what it was, but. Yeah, well, it wasn't peaceful from the federal government. They were throwing people.
If you're going to use the name Bundy, you got to use peaceful sitting because that's what was happening. Now, if you want to refer to it as the government attack of the Bundys, then,
attack, yeah, it was.
Sure.
But it was, a lot of violence, you know, murdering cattle and slaughtering cattle and attack dogs at Ammon, his aunt was body slammed to the hot pavement. And,
yeah, where were the women when that happened?
No kidding. Where were all the congressmen and senators?
They're probably all too busy being in love with me, is what I'm thinking.
But I'm going to have my wife put it out that Megyn Kelly's made passes at me, and that Don's all mad at her.
See, there you go. And then you can raise some money, bro.
We can raise some money if we do that.
Darn right. That's what I'm talking about. What do you think, Kurt? Is that the only direction you can take if you want to become somebody and get any money and do anything good?
You know, it seems like it, but I would recommend against it.
Oh, Kurt.
Well, you're no fun, Kurt. What's the matter with you?
Yeah, see, Kurt's just a
stoner. I know.
No wonder our show can't
go. That's just a crazy me, yeah. Good point. Yeah,
no, you know, I'd rather stay poor, and I'd rather just do the best we can, and I'd rather just be humble and do what we know to be right, regardless of any of that stuff. And none of those things really matter to me. We'll just do the best we can with the limited resources we have, because we can sleep at night peacefully, Sheriff. And our marriages are still together, by the way. Thank heavens for that blessing.
Don and I just had our 42nd, so we're really marching our way towards 50.
Congratulations, by the way.
So I really hope that we get to have a 50th. I hope I'm still here for that. And
what you got to do, Sheriff, is do like Zig Ziglar did. He heard that the 50th wedding anniversary was really cool, so they had one. Now, he said, we've been married for 35 years, but, man, that 50th anniversary is really fun. So, you know, you could do that next year, you know, or maybe next week, just have a 50th anniversary.
Yeah, if they can destroy the Constitution, you can at least celebrate your 50th early. I mean, come on.
Okay, I'll see what my wife says.
Yeah, just say, Don, we're celebrating our 50th. And she'll be like, what?
Okay, we're going to go to Hawaii then.
That's right. All I can tell you is it's just amazing what's going on in the country, and I pray we don't have a civil war. I think we need to really work within the system. We need to be peaceful. We need to really revive the checks and balances that made America great. And the only way we're going to do it is by turning to God, family, and country, Sheriff.
I agree with that, and that's a good perspective.
All right. TheFreedomCoalition.com. Ladies and gentlemen, get involved. The Sam Girod sentencing is coming up on the 30th. There will be a live rally there. The good sheriff will be live on scene. We will be anchoring the broadcast to bring that to you live as well. So we've got a lot of good things coming up, Sheriff.
I hope so, and I really still pray for the judge there that he'll do the right thing.
Amen. Thank you. Godspeed, sir.
See you.
There he goes. TheFreedomCoalition.com, CSPOA.org, the websites. Check them out. Get Richard's books. We could use your financial support in every way possible. We're doing the very best we can to stand for innocence in prison. We got to protect them. Where's the Donald when you need him most? To protect due process of law. We declare this nation shall endure.